your most important board members here. Sorry. I would love to blame this on COVID-19, or love to blame it on the internet, or love it, but I had class until noon, and I lost track of time. So I'm so used to not teaching on Mondays. I'm so used to teaching on Tuesdays or Thursdays, sometimes Fridays. I was like, I didn't miss anything. So my bad. All right. Who do we have on? Who's other people that I waste time?
Ralph Cowan.
Hey, Ralph. Sorry about
Roger
that.
Nelson. Roger Nelson. D. Martin.
The police and advice.
Oh, great. All three of you show up today. All right. My apologies, gentlemen, and my apologies to the staff at PUB. So we do have a quorum, so let's go ahead and I'll call this meeting to order. It is embarrassingly 12:23, and for the record, that is the that's my fault. I'm Jude Benavides, and I will go ahead and confirm quorum and go ahead and see it. Any public comments?
No comments.
No public comments.
All right, great. Go ahead and say open up consideration and possible action approval of the August 3rd board meeting minutes. I'll take a motion to approve.
I move to approve.
I have a first and a second. Any further discussion?
All for the vote.
Nothing heard. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. The minutes are approved. Number two, general manager's report.
Yes, Dr. Benavides, we have the operation and financial report, the SRWA emergency operation presentation, and then an update on the supply of calcium chloride. We'll start with the operation report. Jose Garza.
Yes, sir. Mr. President, members of the board, this is Jose Armando Garza. We're presenting the production and distribution report for the month ended July 31st, 2020. You turn over to tab number two of your board binder. That's where we have the SRWA 2019-2020 fiscal year water distribution summary and true-up estimate. And I'll start on column C with the year-to-date distribution, and that's at 2,232.201 million gallons, and that's for a daily average of 7.319 million per day. Under column F, we have the water distributed to BPUV, and that's at 2,076.799 million gallons for a daily average of 6.809 million gallons per day. Under
is that
column
2,000
D,
or 2 million? Is that 2,000 or 2 million?
I'm sorry, that's 2,076 million gallons.
That doesn't make sense. That's 2,075,799, is that correct?
Million gallons.
That's 2,076 million gallons.
No, that would be 2 billion.
That's correct.
That's correct, 2 billion. Million. Yeah, that's another way of putting it, yeah. 2 billion gallons or 2 billion? It's 2 billion. 2 billion gallons, yes.
That's what I needed. Okay.
Yes, sir. Under column G, yes, sir. Under column G, we have the water distributed to volume mud number two, and that's at 55.52 million gallons for a daily average of 0.182 million gallons per day. Under column H, we have 48.508 million gallons for a daily average of 0.159 million gallons per day. Under column I, we have 46.876 million gallons for a daily average of 0.154 million gallons per day. And under column J, we have the water for Indian Lake that's at 4.466 million gallons for a daily average of 0.015 million gallons per day. below that, we have that true-up estimate for Brownsville. Brownsville is over by 2.86 million gallons. Valley-Mad is under by roughly 500,000 gallons. And Los Fresnos is under by 2.38 million gallons. And the staff is working on balancing those flows out. The next page, we have the production and cost for the month of July. You go to the third column from the left. That's the total production for the month, and that was at 216.971 million gallons for an average of 6.999 million gallons. To the far right, we have the water distributed from the plant, and that's at 215.810 million gallons for an average of 6.962 million gallons. On the chemical consumption cost for July, we had it at 55,827.91, and the electrical consumption was at 86,284.04. Are there any questions?
No, sir.
Okay. And the next page. Thank you. On the next page, that's where we record the plant shutdowns. And for July, we had one shutdown on the 21st for a period of 3 hours. And that was because we had repairs made on a 2-inch chlorine feed line. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
No, thank you very much.
No questions. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go on to financial report. Tricia.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. President and board members. I'm Tricia Ayers. I'll be presenting the financial performance report as of July 30th, 2020. July is our 10th month of the fiscal year. Continuing on page 6, our operating revenues and expenses. On line 2 is our member assessments. For the year, $5,749,517. Continuing to our operating expenses, we have personnel services of $477,075. Materials and supplies, $600,982. Repairs and maintenance, $212,324. Contractual and other services, $1,174,494. And depreciation expense of $1,072,790. That gives us a total operating expenses for the fiscal year of $3,537,665. And subtracting that from our total operating revenues, we have an operating income of $2,211,852. Continuing on to the next page, our non-operating revenues and expenses. Line 17, our net non-operating expenses for the year, $593,338. Subtracting that from our operating income from the previous page, and we have a change in net position for the year of $1,618,514. And that gives us an ending net position for the year of $18,696,534. And again, the next two pages are provided there for the operating expense count for your information and review. And that concludes my report. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Thank you.
No questions. Yes, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll move on.
Thank you very much. John?
SRWA emergency operation presentation. I think Jaime is going to start us off on that, I think.
Yes, sir. Mr. President, members of the board, this is Jaime Espada. I'm the director of Operations Services. During the last board meeting, the board of directors did have some questions on the FRWA emergency operations. This presentation is located on your board packet under item 2. That'll be the last presentation under that item. If you're following along on the PDF that was to you, it's page 94. So we turn to page 2 of the presentation. The objectives for the presentation, we have Mr. Eli Alvarez. He will be talking to us about supply improvements.
Just a minute, Jaime. Jaime, so pardon the interruption. Can everybody please make sure their phones are muted? We're hearing some background noise. Go ahead, Jaime. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the objective for this presentation, we have Mr. Eli Alvarez. He'll be talking to us about electric supply improvements and alternate electric power feed. Then we have Mr. Elias Quintero. He will be talking to us about backup generators, well-fed communication improvements. And we have Mr. Jose Garza. He will be talking to us about standard practices for emergency. And then we have Ramiro Capistran. He'll be talking to us about environmental regulatory requirements. If you turn to page 3, we'll start the presentation. I'll turn it over to Mr. Eli Alvarez. Eli, you on the line?
Hello.
Okay, we can hear you now.
Eli, I'm the manager for the electrical systems. I will go over what we've done, what Brownsville Pub has done in terms of electric improvements for the SRWA. This project that I'm going to detail happened within the last year. So just to give you some context about what we're doing here to improve reliability, electric reliability to the SRWA. So the title of this slide is called Alternate Electric Power Feed, and what that includes is an automatic transfer switch that was recently installed on FM 511. And what an automatic transfer switch will do is basically it provides power to a critical load. In this case, the SRWA is it's the subject. And in addition, we also have the new service yard that's also monitored or provided power by this ATS. So basically, the ATS will monitor the primary source power, in this case, the Titan substation on Paredes line. There is a Titan tire plant that's there, and adjacent to it is our Titan substation. It provides the primary power to this ATS. The ATS will then monitor whether it has power, and in the event if there's an absence of power, then it would transfer the source leading up to both the SRWA and the new service yard to our secondary power source, which is the Palo Alto substation, which is about less than 2 miles away from the SRWA plant. So we're going to switch slides now to slide 4, and in your PDF packet, it's page 97. And we're going to give you just a quick shot of what it looks like in real life. So as you're passing by, you would be able to spot it and know exactly what it's doing for not only the SRWA, but the BPUB service yard. And so this shot is as if you're facing towards both of those facilities. That would on the left of it, there's a gray looking building. That's our new Brownsville Pub service yard. And of course, to the left is the SRW. You might not see it very well, but it's in that general area. You see the pole structures that we've put in place here that would allow such a configuration. So as you're passing by and you see this this setup, you'll know exactly what we're talking about here. So up to this point, are there any questions from the board members or anybody else?
No questions here.
Okay, thank you. We'll move along to page 98 of the PDF, and that would be slide number 5. And so this is a close-up of that same photo that we're looking at. So you know that it looks like the transformer that you would see at a industrial and or light commercial building that would serve that. But just to give you an overview of what it does and how it does it, I'm just going to kind of recap that with some of these bullet points here. So as I had mentioned before, the automatic transfer switch, or the ATS, will transfer from the primary source to the secondary source if there's a power outage. This doesn't happen instantaneously because we need to make sure that it is, in fact, an outage. And it would allow the substation equipment to function as it should. And if in fact it is an outage, after that, it's about 35 seconds, it would switch over to the secondary source. So it doesn't happen automatically. There's still some things that the SRWA operators will have to reestablish or re-energize. They have to do some operations to get them operational one more time. So the short outages needed to coordinate with the substation, as I had previously mentioned. And in this last test, it was proven that the SRW operators operations must be restarted at this short outage time. So at the end of every outage event that we have, there's always lessons learned. There's a constant feedback loop to where we're learning from the things that happen. We're learning the limitations, and we're learning things that we need to improve on our operation. So we're continuously doing that. We had an outage recently where we learned some things that we're going to make improvements on. And for now, that is it in terms of the electric power feed and the automatic transfer switch. Unless we have any other questions, then I'll pass it over to Elias Quintero, and he will be speaking on backup generators. Are there any questions?
None here. Thank you.
No, none.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Quintero?
Thank you, Mr. Quintero. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the board. My name is Elias Quintero, and I'm the school executive. There's so much to that. I will be talking about the emergency generators for the SWA facilities in the Wellfield Communication. If you turn to page 99.
I'm sorry, what's going on here? And it's gotten to the point where you're incoherent. Can we figure out what's going on there? I'm not sure who's it. Fault, but there's either some feedback coming in or back of the question. Sounds like feedback or interruption in the line, not background noise.
Can we try again? Okay, let's go ahead and try.
Is it just my debate? Are other people hearing this?
Yeah, he is.
I'm hearing
it. He is breaking.
Yes, we are. I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and try again.
Yes, sir. So you turn your pages to page 99 in the board packet. We'll begin with the SRW specific generators. The generators
is that
you see here on this page.
Six?
I'm sorry?
I said this is slide 6 you're talking about?
Yes, sir. This is slide 6 on
thank
page 99 of the sure. So the generator that you see here in this page, the original generator design, this generator feeds the head service pump area and the OA building. It's a fuel capacity of 2,500 gallons, and the runtime for the generator is at full load is 35 hours, and at 75% load is 47 hours. Usually this generator runs around 75-80%, so operations is able to calculate the available runtime of the generator. Next, if you turn to page 100 or slide number 7, The generator that you see here fits the filtration building. This generator has a full capacity of 1,800 gallons. The runtime for the generator is at full load 25 hours, and a 75% load is 34 hours. If you turn with me to page 101, or slide number 8, we have three generator pictures. We have three types of generators out there. The first generator we'll talk about is the 1,000 kilowatt generator that keeps 14 wells. The generator has a fuel capacity of 1,800 gallons. The runtime for the generator at is 25 hours, and the 75% is 34 hours. The second set of generators are three 100 kilowatt generators that feed 350 horsepower wells, and they are worth 3-4. These generators have a full capacity of 160 gallons. The runtime for these are at full load 21 hours and a 70% load 28 hours. And this is the third set of generators that were just installed this past year. There are three 200 kilowatt generators that need 3,100 horsepower wells, and they are located at wells 9, 10, and 17. These generators have a fuel capacity of 372 gallons, and runtime for these are at full load 25 hours, and at 35% load 34 hours. Please turn with me to page 102 or slide number 9. We'll be talking about generator fueling. Fuel levels are tracked during our monthly vehicle and equipment inspection process by our BPUB electricians. Our electricians coordinate the refueling of the generators through our BPUB fleet department. Our BPUB fleet department uses an outside vendor to perform the refueling. There is not a set schedule for refueling, so we refuel as needed throughout the year. We do, however, top off all the tanks prior to hurricane. Now, during prolonged event, for example, during a hurricane or a major event with our incoming power from the provider, the refueling needs are tracked by our certified operations and the BPUB electricians. This effort is coordinated through our fleet department. We have a contingency plan in case there is a problem with our fuel vendor, as BPUB only the 100-gallon trailer-mounted fuel tank that can be called out to the well fields in an emergency. Please turn to page 103, slide number 10 in your printing. And we'll change the subject to the maintenance. Like I stated in the previous page, our BPUB electricians perform a monthly vehicle and equipment generator. And as part of monthly inspection, we perform a half an hour test without load. And then we perform a yearly load test for hurricane season. All minor repairs resulting from the inspection are performed by BPUB. And we do have a preventive maintenance and maintenance repairs that are performed by an outside contract. Now, as part of this preventive maintenance plan, the scope of work includes an option to perform an analysis of all fluids, which are the engine, oil, and fuel, along with recommendations for fluid analysis for replacement as needed. In case there's a rental generator that's required due to maintenance downtime of generators, all maintenance is performed by the rental company on their own generator. This is the case this year with the microfiltration facility generator that is down to repairs. Please turn with me to page 104 in the packet or slide number 11.
I have a question.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I noticed that we've got two 1,000 watt KW generators, but in case of a storm or something, do we have tie downs for those so they wouldn't be blown over?
The construction helps us with that, sir. We do have tie downs in the road.
We do have tie downs on the trailers to two anchors in the ground?
We do, sir. At
yes,
the
we do.
Yes, we do.
Well, I noticed there's one at the yard, and there's one at the plant, one at the yard, and one out at the well site. My question is, I didn't see any, in those pictures, I couldn't see any tie-downs. So I wondered if we had tie-downs on them.
Yes, sir. So we do have the tie-downs at the one at the well field, vapor station.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need to know. Thank you. Don't need to go into any more detail. Thank you.
Okay, not a problem, sir. So turning on to page 104, you're back in slide number 10. It's 104, you're back in slide number 11. Let's change subject and talk about the well communication improvement. Our existing communication system with a 34 gigabit radio telemetry network that backhauls all the well field information back to the plant. Now, this system provides for fast data readings and a wide bandwidth, and this setup allows data to be available every 2 to 3 seconds from each well site to the SCADA system. And this network speed is necessary for the plant SCADA system to be able to react to a power failure in the well sites. The SCADA system must be able to react to its power failures within 1 minute or else the entire plant shuts down and has to be restarted. Additionally, the network bandwidth is also necessary for access control to each well site and cameras that are looking at the generators. These two critical needs of speed and bandwidth are being met through the existing radio system, but with one caveat. The caveat is that the system is susceptible to adverse weather. During heavy rain, the communication link is broken, and the well will continue to run without communication until the heavy rain subsides. But if there's any power failures during that time, the SCADA system cannot react immediately. In cases like this, the plant will have to be manually restarted with a generator that are available until the power is restored to all the wells. Now, if you turn with me to the next slide, we'll talk about what we do to improve this. We are currently negotiating a proposal from communication consultants to evaluate and propose enhancements to our computer telemetry system. As part of this scope of work, they will analyze and propose a solution for the best data path and technology for existing needs. And this will include monitoring and data. So we're really looking forward to these enhancements that are coming up this next week. The plan is to implement the proposed enhancements by the middle of next year. Parallel to this, we're also researching options to provide a fiber optic link from SCADA to each well site. Right now, a proposal has been submitted for this fiscal 2021 budget and is pending. Before I have, you have any questions?
Yes, I do. I have a question. Running all this fiber is going to cost a lot of money. How long would a weather event average last that would stop communication between the well and the plant?
Usually, we get rain weather events maybe 4 times a year, and they last anywhere from 5 to 15, 20 minutes.
Well,
now, during the plant is continuing to run, but any communication to the well fields is not until the rain subsides.
So you're talking about a 5 to 30 minute interruption of communication. How much, now, before we spend this kind of money, how much reserve do we have? We have several billion gallons in a tank, or at least 1 million gallons, right? So,
yes,
I mean, we wouldn't be out of water if it was interrupted for 30 minutes or even for a whole day, most probably.
True. Is that something that's being considered as part of this with operations and maintenance?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up really bad. Can you? I don't know if you're
yes,
not
sir.
Talking into the mic or what's going on, but it's really bad. It's hard to understand you.
This is something that being researched as part of the project for this initial decision, and that would be considered.
Well, I would not be in favor of spending the money to run fiber to all the way out to the San Pedro, and out there would cost a lot of money and a lot of, you know, for downtime of 30 minutes that's not going to interrupt service, actual service. I wouldn't see the need to do that. But anyway, that's not
extending fiber.
That's my comment.
Let me ask for additional information.
Yeah.
Additional information we want to offer up is that.
Go ahead. Somebody
asked
a question.
Yes, I have a question. Has anybody done a benefit on this particular issue?
No, there's not a cost benefit other than the board's discussion that we had last time about providing better reliability and the continuity of service. What we wanted to also do with having a more robust communication system is to be able to monitor each well to provide predictive maintenance information, whether there's vibrations, water quality coming in, the well performance dropping off, and having historian type information. That's stuff that would be very important when it comes time to optimizing the use of the well field for the plant to be more productive as far as the quality of water coming in and the amount of water coming back out of the SRWA. Those are things that as we plan forward are good improvements for the operation. On top of that, I really believe that these will be good opportunities to seek grant opportunities for, because they're always talking about the optimization of the plant and so you may have one well and it's starting to produce a little bit more salt over time, and then another well that's maybe producing some other chemical, maybe more arsenic than the others. So if you have that real-time information, you can really optimize the performance of the plant. Those would be the things that I believe that we should take to the board for your decision, obviously, but also to seek grant opportunities to see if there's something out there that could help us to have a more automated and sustainable well field.
This is Jim. Let me interject. That's an excellent question. I think the board members' concerns about cost versus benefit are obviously justified, and I think we'll make sure we work together as a board and as staff to make sure that hurdle is met when we finally get to making this decision. But I also want to echo Fernando's, as a hydrologist, Fernando's comment, limited data is our biggest problem with efficiently operating anything in the water world. As it relates to emergency operations and downtime, those are all extremely valid questions. But a lot of the times, you know, the initial upfront cost to build a enhanced data system that is going to pay dividends over the life of the well field out to many, many decades, I think any cost-benefit analysis at that point provided some unless we're only talking about such a brief interruption and only limited additional data, I think would be justified. But that's my opinion and in my experience. Let's go ahead and move forward and take these points under consideration. Go ahead and continue.
Thank you. Good explanation.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is Jose Armando Garza, and I'll continue with the presentation on slide number 13. Standard practices for emergencies. The standard practices include topping off chemicals, filling the ground storage tank, and placing personnel on 12-hour shifts. Moving over to slide number 14, we have a table with a list of chemicals and with their storage capacities and capacity in days. Starting with ammonium sulfate, we have a storage capacity of 22,400 gallons, and that allows for 367 days of operation. Caustic soda, we have a storage of 20,050 gallons, and that gives us 436 days of operation. Calcium chloride, we have 12,500 gallons of storage, and that gives us 33 days of operation. And the chlorine, we have a storage of 16,000 pounds, and that gives us 38 days of operation. And the sodium chloride, we have 5,000 gallons in storage, and that gives us 100 days of operation. And the ferric chloride, we have 10,000 gallons of storage, and that gives us 455 days of operation. And the scale inhibitor, we have 1,925 gallons in storage, and that gives us 160 days of operation. And the sodium bisulfite, we have 10,000 gallons, and that gives us 500 days of operation. As I note, the staff is working on a project to replace the bulk tanks for the calcium chloride. This project will increase the storage capacity of calcium to 26,100 gallons of storage, and that will give us 68 days of operation. Staff is currently working on that project. Are there any questions on this slide? Okay, going over to slide number 15. Another part of this emergency operation is to fill our ground 7.5 million gallon storage tank. With a tank full, without production can give us up to 24 hours of water supply under normal conditions. Or by closing a 24-inch valve on Paredes line, we can extend that water supply up to 48 hours. Closing that valve basically reduces the plant output by half. Another thing we do is place personnel on 12-hour shifts. The SRWA has 8 operator positions. And by placing the operators on 12-hour shifts, that allows allows the operators to have additional days off during the week where we can call them back in case it's needed. Like if somebody comes in sick, we can call one of those operators back into the plant to operate the plant. And the emergency plan, staff is reviewing a draft emergency response plan developed by AARC consultants as part of the risk and resilience assessment they conducted earlier this year. The emergency response plan is scheduled to be submitted to the US EPA by September 30th, 2020. The plan covers natural hazards such as pandemic, flu, and hurricanes, technological hazards such as power outages and chemical spills, and malevolent human-caused acts such as potential water contamination, vandalism, and bomb threats. Are there any questions? Okay, then I'll turn it over to Mr. Ramiro Capistran for the next slide.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Chairman, I'm gonna have to sign off. I've got a 1 o'clock that I've got to do now, so I've got to go. But thank you all. I'm in favor of the other items that are on the action items. So you all have a quorum, so I'm going to sign off. Thank you.
Great. Go ahead. Thank you. Go ahead and continue.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. President, board members. My name is Ramiro Capistran Jr. I'm the DPB Environmental Manager. I'm in Beach 109, Slide 16. I'll discuss environmental requirements. So the requirements you see are not for SRWA to comply. These requirements are for the Houston and Fort Bend counties. And this is why during Hurricane Ike in 2008, residents in the Houston area were without power and water for days. Therefore, in 2009, the Texas legislative amended the Texas rules to include these requirements, maintain distribution pressure of 35 PSI during a power outage and emergency power in order to comply with this requirement. Also, they are required to submit an emergency response plan certified by a licensed engineer. So my point is, if we don't have a plan or provide water during an emergency, our state can impose strict rules like they did in the Houston and Fort Bend counties. At this time, there's no special environmental requirements for SRWA during emergencies. That pretty much concludes my portion of the presentation, unless we have any questions for me. If not, I'll send it back to Jaime.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, that concludes. If y'all have any other questions, so we do have the people on that could answer those, all the subject matter experts in the different areas.
This is Jude. I don't have any additional questions. I think this very well answers the, at least the concerns, and are not concerns, but the questions that we appreciate the hard work on behalf of the staff and the local experts in those areas explain that to us. Any other questions from other board members?
No, I have none.
We also have this webinar.
Is someone talking, or are we ready to move on to the point, John? I hear
ready,
something, but I'm not.
Yeah, we're ready to move on to the update on supply of calcium chloride.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is Jose Armando. On August 31st, 2020, Skyhawk Chemicals, our supplier for calcium chloride, notified SRWA that the calcium chloride production plant located in Westlake, Louisiana, would be providing a force majeure letter because of Hurricane Laura. It seems that Hurricane Laura damaged their production plant there in Louisiana. Therefore, Skyhawk is now providing this chemical from a plant located in West Virginia. The financial impact of the force majeure is estimated to be between $15,000 and $30,000, depending on the length of time required to restore their plant in Louisiana. I talked to a representative last week, and they're estimating approximately 2 to 3 months to get their plant back going in Louisiana. The bid price for this chemical was 0.195 cents per pound, and the force majeure price is now 0.27 per pound. And like I said, the cost increase is gonna be anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000, depending on the length of time that the plant is gonna get back online. Is there any question?
Yeah, is there any problem with the delivery time?
No, sir. All we're doing is we are requesting the chemical ahead of time so they can be here within enough time.
Okay.
And that is the only provider besides?
We went out for bids earlier in the year, and there's another provider, Univar, but they basically obtained this chemical from the same plant. They were just a different provider. And I know there's other providers that we've used in the past, but we had problems with the other provider back 2-3 years ago. The chemical was not up to spec, so we ended up canceling their contract, and we went with this company now. In case of an emergency, we can always go back to that provider to see if they have improved their product by now.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, great. Thanks. Anything else, John, on the item number 2?
No, that's it for item 2.
Great, thank you. Excellent job on the staff there. Appreciate the great attention to detail and the patience and time it took to create the presentations for us. Those are highly, highly useful for board members like us, and also to explain to anyone in the public who wants to look at these as a matter of record to educate themselves on these important matters. All right, moving on to item number three, consideration of possible action of resolution to approve the investment policy, strategies, and other matters in connection therewith. Mr. Garcia.
Yes, hello, everyone. So every year, staff is required to bring the revised policy, a reviewed policy, to the board for approval. Staff has undergone a review of this along with guidance from bond counsel. We usually make changes when there's a legislative session, so we didn't have any changes coming out of any state statutes or any legislation. But the policy itself reflects the requirements of the Public Funds Investment Act, as well as we've gotten guidance over the years from the Government Treasurers Organization of Texas, GTOT, which is an organization that we submit the policy to under their certification program. We've gotten good feedback from them in past years and qualified as for the certification. So the package itself, the policy itself, consists of four main items that are on the tabs referenced in the agenda here. Tab one is the actual policy. Tab two is a list of authorized personnel. Tab three, we provide the broker-dealer questionnaire and certification. That's what we send to any broker or dealer wanting to do business with PUB. I mean, with Southmost Regional Water Authority. And then we have a list of authorized brokers and dealers and financial institutions. So the policy, as I mentioned, has not changed. The we do have a table of contents that kind of gives a general overview of the policy, the purpose, the scope, the investment objectives, the parameters, how we select banks and safekeep investments. And none of that has changed. So we do recommend the approval of a resolution that is attached to the agenda item. So staff recommends approval of the resolution of the Southwest Regional Water Authority investment policy and investment strategies and other matters in connection therewith. I'll be glad to entertain any questions if anyone has any questions.
Is it Jude? I have no questions. Anybody else?
No, I have none.
I don't have any questions either.
Great. No questions from those board members present. Let's go ahead and I'll open up the motion for approval as stated. Do I hear a motion to approve the investment policy in connection with?
I move to approve the resolution.
I have a second. Any further discussion? All right, nothing being heard. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Consider item number four, consider possible action to approve the purchase of 233, it looks like, 8-inch low-energy brackish water reverse osmosis membrane elements. Did I get that number right, 233?
That's correct.
All right, great, because it was a little bit caught up at the top on my copy here for some reason. All right, go ahead, Mr. Garza.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is Jose Armando. Reverse osmosis RO membranes are used in the water purification to remove salts and other dissolved contaminants. Over time, RO membranes lose their effectiveness in rejecting dissolved solids. Since installation of the existing membranes in 2015, dissolved solids are approaching the maximum level of secondary constituents. To improve quality of the finished water, staff proposes to replace the RO membrane elements in one of the 8 RO trains. Approximately 233 RO membrane elements are needed to replace the membranes in one train. Invitation to bid on the RO membrane elements, proposal 05-20, was advertised in the Brownsville Herald on June 21st and 28th of 2020, posted on BPUB's webpage and emailed to 17 vendors. On July 9th, 2020, proposals were opened in the purchasing department with 3 vendors responding. The following are the bid proposals from the 3 qualified vendors. Hydro Systems, Inc. Proposed a Toray membrane at a unit price of $389.37 for a total of $90,723.21. Ultra Pure Industrial, LLC, proposed a Hydronautics membrane at a unit price of $460 for a total of $107,180. And King Lee Technologies proposed a Hydronautic membrane at a price of $475,000 for a total of 110 $10,675. Staff evaluated proposals for membrane replacements, and Hydro Systems, Inc. is the most qualified supplier. Based on the unit price of $389.37, the total estimated cost to replace the 233 RO membrane elements is $90,723.21. This is an action item, and SRWA staff recommends approval to purchase 233 RO membrane 8-inch brackish water RO membrane elements from Hydro Systems, Inc. of Harlingen, Texas, for an amount not to exceed $90,723.21.
Great. Do you have any questions from the board?
None.
Okay, great. And then no questions, then I'll go ahead and put the item number 4 out for approval. Do I have a motion to approve the purchase of 233 membrane elements from Hydro Systems?
You have a motion.
Have a second. And a second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you very much, gentlemen on the board, and thanks, Garza, for your presentation on item number 4.
Yes, sir.
Last item, the discussion and date and time next board meeting. Please tell me it's the first Monday of the month, so I don't screw up the calendar again.
Yeah, it's October 5th, members of the board. That's okay.
Let me see here. I think, yes. October 5th does indeed work for me. I'm going to be coming in from out of town on Sunday, and barring any travel-related items, which I'll duly keep everyone informed of, I should be able to make that Monday the 5th. Anyone else have an issue?
No issue here.
And
none here.
Mr. President, if that's going to conflict with, we can move the time at 1 or something like that if there's a problem.
No. I should be coming in. Actually, I think it's Saturday evening, but I know I'm coming back traveling, but it should be early Sunday, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
But thank you. And I can, I'll duly note my class to end a few minutes early so we can start at the regular time. No problem.
Okay. That's all we have.
All right, folks, that's all the discussion. Then I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I move the meeting be adjourned.
I second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you again, and I apologize for the tardiness. I owe everybody lunch.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.